Black Flame of the Amazon, featuring Harold Noyce, world-famous explorer in person. Remember last time, hurried preparations were being made for the party to get away from this part of the jungle where the native Indians were hostile and had caused so much trouble. What happened to Butch Grogan and his equally villainous partner as yet is not known. The disabled seaplane, useless now because of a broken propeller blade, is on its way downriver for repairs. Pat Donovan is aboard with two reliable Indian canoe men to assist him in keeping the ship in midstream. Mr. Noyce, Pedro, Jim, and Gene Brady are now in their dugouts. In each boat, a crew of sturdy Indian paddlers, each paddle stroke taking them just a little nearer to the Black Flame country.
Gosh, Mr. Norris, I never thought there was so much jungle in the whole world. Jungle, jungle, jungle everywhere. We come to a bend in the river, expecting to see a green field, maybe, and...
Yeah, expecting, but no, ma'am. Just a flock more jungle, hour after hour, and day after day.
And you might as well say year after year while you're at it. For a person could travel here for years and never get out of the jungle.
Boy, oh boy. It just looks like when the world was new. Like stories I've read about what it must have looked like millions of years ago.
Well, Jean, a million years is a pretty long time. However, I doubt if this jungle has changed so very much in the last... we'll say 50,000 years or so.
Who knows? Maybe there are still some great big animals. You know, prehistoric brutes left over. You think so, Mr. Noyce?
You mean dinosaurs, eh? No, I doubt it. If there were any such things, I'm inclined to believe they'd have been seen long ago.
Well, me, I'm believing that they do still exist.
Jimmy, will you please shut up? Hector's pup. Isn't it scary enough without you getting nightmares in the middle of the day?
Oh, gosh. Can't a fella get thinking if he wants to?
Sure you can. But, gee, try to do it more quietly. You don't have to think so out loud. See?
See, Senor Jean. You know, I am see one of those things, what you call the three-story animal. See, it was one big one, too. You know, Pedro, she was in the jungle one night. It was so dark as the stack of black pussycats.
You mean you actually saw one of these big prehistoric animals?
Jeez.
See, Gene? What did I tell you? But go ahead, Pedro. Tell us.
Well, it was the very dark night when suddenly this big animal, she was come right into the camp.
Right into camp? In the jungle here?
See, senorita. It was come very, very slowly. Slowly into the camp where Pedro she was. And it would have three heads.
Oh, now, Pedro, three heads. There ain't no such animal.
What do you mean there ain't? Pedro, she was see him with his own eyes. It would have three heads. And look, with one head, it bent way down and grabbed Pedro by the back of his neck. And with the other head, it would grab Pedro by one ear.
And I suppose with the other head, it laughed right in your face.
No, it did not laugh. With the other head, it was grab Pedro by the other ear. And it was shake me like the little puppy dog. And Pedro, he was here like everything. Is that not so, Senor Norris?
Say, were you there too, Mr. Norris? Did you actually see that monster?
No, I didn't actually see it, but I had to take Pedro's word for it.
But if you were there, you surely must have seen it, too.
No, I didn't see it at all. I did hear a lot of noise. Pedro was yelling like fury. And when I got my flashlight going, I found him all tangled up in his hammock. He was almost choked.
See, Senor Jim. Oh, that was the one terrible night, though. I will never forget to remember it. Caramba, I was so much glad when I was woke up.
Oh, heck. And it was only a dream then. Just a dream?
No, Senor Jim, no. It was not only a dream. It was one beautiful nightmare. I mean nightmare. And it was happened 2-3 years ago. And look, I'm still shaking with the fright. Look, Pedro's hand, it is still trembling like everything.
Well, I still don't think this is the time nor the place to tell ghost stories. One more like that, Pedro, and I'll be having the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies? What is those things, Senorita? I'm not here of those things.
The heebie-jeebies? Well, they're,
She means like the willies, the jitters.
The heebie-jeebies, they are like the Williams and the jitters. Senor Noyce, which kind of language is this? I am not here of the jitters. You know what those are?
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to let Jimmy and Jean do all the explaining. Go ahead, Jimmy. You started it, didn't you?
Who, me? I should say not. It was Jean.
Says you. How come I started it?
Well, it was you that pulled that heebie-jeebies first.
Well, you can do the explaining. I just know that the heebie-jeebies, well, they're the heebie-jeebies. And that's all there is to it.
Look, Pedro, I'll try to explain it.
Oh, please.
For instance now, when that big three-headed nightmare, Osiris, started chewing on your ears, how did you feel?
How did I feel? Pedro, she feels like the very Sam Hill. And you know what Pedro do?
Yes, I'll tell you what he did, Jimmy. He nearly hung himself with a hammock rope and yelled as if the Indians were about to barbecue him.
See, I'm yelled so loud, the noise she's waked me up.
Well, when you woke up, you were all a-twitter and woozy. Jumpy, weren't you?
Woozy? Oh, you bet you my life I was, yes.
Then that was the heebie-jeebies and the jitters all in one dose, see?
Oh, now I guess I'm not understand so well. I'm all mixed up like the little pig's breakfast.
All right, Pedro. I guess you had this coming to you. You would start in on those wild and woolly nightmare stories of yours.
Yeah, and it sort of makes fun out of Jimmy's crazy ideas about big animals. Prehistoric animals in the jungles here.
Well, not quite, Miss Jean. At that, Jimmy isn't so very far wrong. For right here in this very jungle, there are still to be found living representatives of prehistoric animals.
There you go, Jean. And now I suppose you'll start in admitting there are big, strange animals in here.
Well, why not? Pedro just mentioned something about that.
Aw, phooey, Jean. I mean, actually, though, real stuff.
Yes, Jimmy, real stuff. But I wasn't thinking about animals then, not great big animals. I was thinking about a bird that hisses like a snake. It's called the Hoatzin.
What? It hisses like a snake? And it's called the Hoatzin? Say, that's a funny name. I never heard it before.
Well, few people have. It's only within recent years that anything very definite has been learned about this strange lizard-like bird.
Well, if it is related to the prehistoric stuff, I'll bet it's an ugly, vicious bird, all right. A killer, very likely.
It is ugly looking, all right, and has a bad odor. The Hoatzin is not a killer. It's a vegetarian. It builds in the muka-muka trees that grow in the swamps and rivers. It feeds in the green buds and leaves of that particular tree.
But what makes this whole Hoatzin, or whatever you call it, so different then?
Well, from the scientific point of view, a great many things. But in particular, the fact that when the young Hoatzins are still fledglings with bare, lizard-like skins, they climb trees and swim like reptiles.
Oh, gee whiz. Can't they fly?
No, not the fledglings. They're too young. They can hardly even walk, but they can climb trees. And strange to say, they do most of the climbing by their bare, featherless wings.
Climb with their wings, Mr. Noyce?
Yes. You see, on the tip of the bone on each wing, there's a little hook or spur. And when climbing, the young Hoatzin uses its bill and the hooks on its wings to scramble up tree branches to safety if pursued.
And you say, the grown-up Hoatzins build their nests away out over the water? Well, are they waterfowl, web feet? Do they really swim?
The strange part of it is that the baby Hortons can swim better than the older birds. Yes, they can swim even before they can walk. But as they grow older and grow feathers, their ability to swim well seems to leave them.
But if they can't walk, they haven't got webbed feet, just how do they swim?
By using their feet and wings. You see, they use their wings just like you use your arms when swimming the breaststroke.
Oh.
We'll keep our eyes open as we go upriver, and we may run into a colony of them. It'll be a rare sight if we do, for they are almost extinct. Still, I have found them here in South America.
Gosh, that's a new one. Birds that can't walk yet, but are able to swim.
Well, I hope to be able to show you a young Hortson in action. We look for a nest of fledglings. Then you'll be able to see with your own eyes what few white men have ever seen. A hideous, snake-like bird deliberately climbing out of its nest by its hands and diving headfirst into the water.
And actually swimming away?
Yes, underwater just like a fish.
Gee.
It may swim 10 or 20 feet away. Then if your eyes are sharp enough, you'll see the funny little head with its two big black eyes slowly emerging from the black water near to some protecting tree root or floating vegetation.
Well, me now, maybe I'd rather look around for something big and fierce. Something that can reach up and bite the top of one of those big trees over there. That's the kind of animals I'd like to see.
Okay, Jimmy. But when you do see one like that, I hope I'm someplace else.
Si, Senor Jim. But what is the big animal? She has the three heads like the one I saw that time, huh? That was some animal. And I'm not meaning maybe, perhaps.
Well, Jimmy, you watch for big prehistoric animals. And Jean and I, we'll keep our eyes open for something that looks like a black flame.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's what interests me.
Well, Pedro, she's very much interested, too. Pedro, she has seen many times the red flame, the yellow flame, the blue flame, the pink flame, but even the green flame. But this black flame, well, maybe she is like the big animal with the two, three heads I see, huh? The time in the nightmare.
Say, but this black flame, this isn't any nightmare at all. Our dad is supposed to be near the black flame right now. If ever we reach dad and rescue him, well, we'll know all about the black flame, all right.
Yes, I suppose so. But we won't worry too much about it until we get nearer our destination. That'll be soon enough. Or maybe Pedro will be getting more nightmares.
You know, senor, the best part of the horrible nightmare is when Pedro sees wake up and find it is not so. It is one beautiful, delightfulish feeling.
Oh, Mr. Noah, for the love of Mike, what's that right behind you?
What's what? Where?
Say, gosh, it's a big monster shark. See it? See the big dorsal fin? Got big spikes sticking up. Look.
Heck, this pup. Maybe it was a sea serpent. It sure looked like it. Oh, maybe I'm seeing things. Maybe I'm having a nightmare in the middle of the day.
There it is again, Mr. Noyes. Hurry, get your gun. Boy, oh boy.
Well, what kind of a jungle is this we're in? First, Pedro sees monster animals with three heads, and now both Jimmy and Jean see something that looks like a monster sea serpent or a gigantic shark. What happens now? Their canoes are out in the middle of the river, a dangerous place to be with that monster so near. Tune in next time and we'll see what happens.